This is On The Mark. Pleased to be joined today by an incredible team. We've got the Super Bowl champion, three-time MVP, 16 years in the NFL, Joe Montana, and his beautiful wife, Jennifer, joining me today. And guys, we're here to talk some football, but you also wanted to talk about your family. You both have family history of heart disease. And Jennifer, let's start with you. You guys came up with breaking away from heart disease. You're trying to educate the dangers that people have where there are no symptoms and this can creep up on you. And Joe, I know that you didn't expect to have this in your life, especially being a former athlete and being active. Jennifer, just talk about how this has come to be and something that you guys have really wanted to promote and make people more aware of the dangers.
Yes, thank you. We've teamed up with Amgen and really just to try to educate everybody because it really helped us start to take care of our bodies by exercising, by eating right and all too. And then especially we're at a higher risk for heart disease because we both have it in our family, as you said, Joe's mother's side, my father's side. My father passed away at the age of 60 from a massive heart attack. So it really, really resonated with us, this whole campaign, because of that. And also the idea that it's never too early to start. So we are busy, you know, educating our own kids and telling them that they are at risk. And everybody has a different procedure to follow, and it's best for everyone to be asking their own doctor. But for us, we're very passionate about it and eating right and exercising and just getting on top of heart disease.
Joe, what would you say you do differently now trying to, you know, stay as healthy as you can as far as in this corner of your life?
I think one of the first things I did was actually get with our doc, like Jen said, about getting with your doctor and figuring out a game plan for you as an individual, because it's always different. And me, I find it always hard where, you know, everybody talks about diets and things. I found the easiest way to do it for me was to start just by cutting portion size down, because we always seem to love a lot more food than we really need. And that kind of got me on the right track and trying to eat healthier, stay active during the day, you know, getting up and getting a workout in as much as I can in the morning. And if not, I try to work it in somewhere else during the day. But I think that those things have been the biggest difference in my life.
See, and when I was thinking about this for you, Joe, I mean, you obviously are dealing with physical ailments from playing the game of football at the highest level, arguably the greatest quarterback of all time, 16 years in the NFL, but you can't move around like you once did. I'm curious, like, as you're, you know, trying to stay as healthy as you can, do you look back and say, well, maybe I wish I would have played, I don't know, a couple of less years so I could, my body would feel better today, or do you look back and say, I wish I was out there even longer because I loved it so much?
Yeah, the latter for sure. I still look back and go, I probably got out at the right time, and I probably could have cut down a year or two just to be safe. But I most of my injuries had already been, I've already had prior to that, the serious ones. And I also, but I still think I could have played a little longer. I wish you always look back on those things and go, wow, it's the career is so short that, and you just love the game so much. It's just so exciting when you play. It's hard not to. But one of the things that I do to get around with is really, even part in one of the other partners here is Schwinn, and we bike a lot. We have bikes. We have a stationary bike that I spend a lot of time on.
Jennifer, is it hard for you to see your husband, who you love so much, like dealing with the after effects of football?
Oh, sure it is. I know, like he said, he wouldn't have traded it for anything, but definitely. I don't think I was any happier than when the boys both didn't move on after college football. That was great. I mean, they have so many different wonderful attributes and all too, but now he's into, he's into another kind of a battle because he has high cholesterol and he has high blood pressure. So we're kind of, we've got another game plan together here and trying to keep him moving and healthy and eating properly and all too. So yeah, it takes its toll. And the thing you have to do is that it's the part that you can't see, the heart, that all, so many of us are at risk for, and just to get educated early, it can save so many lives.
Joe, how do you feel about the game being under attack? I mean, you're a guy that you grew up in Pennsylvania, loving the game, dreaming of playing at Notre Dame, and now there's less and less people, or less and less kids playing youth football because they're worried they won't be able to think when they're, or whatever it is, the parents are being more careful. We always knew the game was dangerous, right? But it seems like the game's under attack now more than it ever has been.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to watch the game go through what it's going through, but it's totally understandable, especially it's a funny thing. I always thought that kids at a really young age weren't quite as susceptible to some of these things because it was more like bunch ball, right? They get up, they snap the ball, and they all get in a bunch, and then they all go, and then they all fall down. But at some point in time, a couple kids get more mature quicker. And so that's when I think the game gets more dangerous. Younger kids whose bodies are growing faster, you know, start outweighing and out being able to out-physical the rest of the kids. And that's where I think the danger comes in. So I totally get it with the parents. I think, you know, waiting, there's nothing wrong with waiting. But it also becomes an individual thing, too. You can see guys who look like Roger Craig. Roger's still running marathons. I go, anything over a mile or two requires a vehicle, Rog. I don't know. But and the same with Jerry Rice. I mean, look what Jerry went through, too. But all of a sudden, you know, he's still doing all his workouts the same as he did when he was playing. So I think it becomes individual at the time.
Yeah, I hang out with one Hall of Famer doing a Bears postgame show with Dan Hampton and an older guy, Ed Obradovich, and they don't exactly move particularly well, Joe, but they would never give up what they experienced playing the game. I mean, it's something that's that's just kind of...
Yeah, I think if you ask anyone who's been in that game at that level, that they would all say the same thing. It's the excitement of a Sunday afternoon or a Monday night, whatever you want to say, is... It's just hard to explain. I always say I wish everyone could have an opportunity to play at least one game on a Sunday just to see what that excitement's like, win or lose. The thrill of the game is beyond what you can even try to describe.
Yeah, and, you know, I've heard you talk about this before, and I love it because, you know, I think if I had ever been anywhere close to that position, you would have had to rip the jersey off me. Like, I would never have wanted to do anything else in my life. And then you have to move on and sort of be, you know, the average regular person. But, you know, it's also, you have this excitement, but yet you were so calm, so cool, and so, I guess, prepared for the biggest moments. And I know you've tried to explain this, but, like, how would you say, like, look, you know, this is why I was able to be so successful when it mattered the most?
Well, I think one of the things I learned early from Bill Walsh really was about preparation, and I think the easiest way to try to describe it is when I talk to kids, okay, you have a test on Friday. When you walk into that test on Friday, if you've prepared yourself well enough, you don't have any, you're a little bit nervous, but in most cases you're nowhere near as nervous as you would be if you weren't prepared walking in there, and you can feel the difference in your body. And those things affect the way you would play. And the one thing that Bill taught was preparation was probably the most important part, especially for a quarterback. You have to be thinking ahead and have seen things in your mind over and over, whether it's the plays, whether it's the video you're watching. It takes a lot more time off the field than people believe.
Who would you say was your best 49ers team, Joe?
Oh, I don't know. It's one of those, the 88, 89 teams, or those teams were pretty good, both offensively and defensively. Ronnie thinks it was our 84 team. If you ask Ronnie a lot.
Yeah.
But I think offensively we didn't have the weapons that we had later on.
Fair enough. Jennifer, you know, your husband gets compared to Tom Brady. Now, like, just ask if he's not there. Does he ever turn to you late at night and be like, I was better than Brady if I played under the rules right now? Nobody would compare me to Brady. Does that ever happen?
Well, let me just answer it this way. He does make us refer to him as the goat around the house. How's that?
See, I love that. I think you should do that, Joe. I was watching
I want them to make the call. I want to make the sound too. They have to make the goat sound.
I was watching a video with Kobe Bryant was talking about having dinner with Michael Jordan, and he said that Michael's sitting there telling him, like, if I played you when I was in my prime, I would have killed you. And Kobe's got to look at him and say, hey, Mike, can you just enjoy your dinner and eat your salad? So I don't know. Do you still, does that competitive is burning you when people compare you to Brady or whoever today?
Well, I think it burns in everybody who had success, you know, down the line, or even or just been in the league for any length of time. I think you have to have a certain attitude to survive in it. And if you don't think you're better than somebody else, then hopefully you're on somebody else's team than mine. So, I mean, I think that's part of the thing that we all thought when we were in San Francisco for so long, is that we were better than anybody else. And yeah, we're going to lose our share of games here and there, but we're still believe that we're the best at what we did.
When they talk about the greatest quarterbacks of all time, the guy that you went up against, you played against him in the Super Bowl, and he's a Pennsylvania guy, and it was always, at least that when I was growing up, Montana and Marino. And a lot of people don't mention Dan that much in that conversation now. I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Because that he was a pretty good quarterback, Dan Marino.
Oh, he was, yeah, he never gets his due for sure. And he's one of those guys that you would love to see playing today. Because think about just the size of his receivers and the accuracy that Danny has or had back then. And you put him in today's world with instead of 5'9", 5'10", receivers, he's got 6'4", 6'5", guys that can run down the field, and he can stand in there and not really worry about taking those hits that you know we took back then. I think you would see his numbers would be, they were ridiculous then. They'd probably be even more ridiculous now.
Best defense you ever played against?
Probably the Giants. You know, when they had that group rolling, they were pretty good. They gave us the toughest time most of the time. And then there was a couple of the Saints defense when they had those four linebackers there that they were pretty good too.
And since you mentioned the Saints, you know, early in your career, your second season, you're down 35-7 at half against the Saints. You come back and you win the game 38-35. Was that maybe like the first moment where you realized, like, I can really be, you know, superb, excellent, one of the best at this? Because, I mean, you were so young to do that. That had to have given you a huge confidence boost.
It gave me a confidence boost, but I never really thought in those terms. I always, you know, once you were there, you always thought that I was there for a reason and I was going to try to do everything I could to stay there and for as long as I could. And I never really sat back and said, well, yeah, I can play this game now. It just wasn't the way my mind operated or still operates. But it was a fun game to be a part of because Bill Walsh kind of made us kind of put us go in a backwards trend where typically everybody, you get that far behind, you start trying all kind of new stuff. And Bill just made us go back to our basics, and basic offense and basic defense, and let's just get some momentum and get out of this game going in the right direction. And, you know, obviously we turned it around, and playing in the quagmire of Candlestick didn't hurt either, because even big old Dwight Clark ran for a long touchdown. That was good. That's the only reason he did, because he was a putter.
Yeah, I think he went all the way across the field on that run. Hey, Super Bowl 23, you got 92 yards to win it. What was going through your head?
You know, all we really needed to do was get in field goal range, and that was our biggest concern. Was okay, we're playing for a field goal at this point. So, you know, we've been in 2 minute offenses enough times in my career to know that just take what they give you and just keep going. And you're going to have four downs all the time. So That's an advantage as a quarterback, knowing you've got that extra down to be able to pick up a first down. So there was no rush, and we had a lot of time on the clock.
Who would you give credit to, Joe, on that, as far as you always seem to do that, take what's given you and take the risk at the right time. You never, it was very rare that you would put yourself, you know, throw into triple coverage or anything like that. You always just played it in that moment, that play, and not rushing ahead. Like, where did you learn that skill? Any coach you would give credit to?
Well, I still go back to Bill, because that was the style of his offense. He's, you know, we're going to attack an area of the field, and he goes, and this is where I would like you to throw the ball, but you don't have to throw it down there because I'm going to give you these other guys down here, and we're going to try to control the field with this. And if he's covered from this area, then you throw the ball to this guy. Well, he goes, I would much rather punt than throw an interception. Throwing an interception gives the other team such a bigger lift by far than having to punt the ball. And he also didn't hurt that we had some pretty good defenses while I was playing. So punting wasn't a bad thing.
Yeah, you've always given credit to playing with a great defense and your good friend Ronnie Lott. I love that about you. Joe and Jennifer Montana, hey, as we go out here, one more thing that you perhaps both would want people to be aware of as far as heart disease and making sure that people go out and get themselves checked out.
I think the most important thing is just to get with your doctor, you know, on a yearly basis and just make sure you know what your risks are. And if you have a problem, then, you know, they'll work on a game plan for you individually.
And Jennifer?
I have to just concur. Yeah, I just concur and do it as soon as you can. You can go to the website Breakaway from Heart Disease and take a look at how to get started, really. And a lot of it will be your family history and also your eating, the way you eat and the exercise that you get. So before you can even get to the doctor, if it's a two-week appointment out or a month, start looking at your intake and start some mild exercise.
Four-time Super Bowl champion, three-time MVP, 16 years in the NFL, and now creating some awareness around heart disease. Joe and Jennifer Montana, just great to talk to both of you. Appreciate the time.
We appreciate it. Thank you.